fly me to the moon. Sorry. Been working with International Networking Services for a while now. Really, really great company. Very happy there. And they send me to fun places like this. Cool. Hey, man. The day I got hired, I say, okay, here's the situation. I love to work for you guys, but I want to go to Black Hat and DEF CON. They said, okay, sure. I said, I'm there. I work for you. Okay, I think it's safe to start here. I think we hit the 3 o'clock mark. Oh, 1 minute short. Close enough. Can we dim the lights a little bit? Anybody? Bueller? Anybody? Can everybody see that okay? Is it a little light or... Hey, thank you. I can take credit for that, but it came with PowerPoint. Yeah, Karen, there's like 30 knobs back there. Like, which one takes what? No idea. Does anybody know how to dim the lights? All right.
Slingshot.
Yeah, we'll just take out the lights one by one. Well, you got the back ones. That's good. Good, good, good. Thank you very much. Well, hi, and welcome to the introduction to computer viruses. My name is Robert James Lupo, a.k.a. Virus. Rockin'. Cool. Let's see if we can get through this in 50 minutes and still have left over for questions here. Introduction. At the end of this presentation, you should be able to understand the basics of computer viruses and how they affect the computer systems. Basically, I'm going to go into a real brief, basic introduction on the different types of computer viruses. I'm not going to go into a lot of depth. I'd be happy to answer questions, but this is an introduction. This is going to give you a grasp on how the computer viruses actually affect different systems. We're going to cover the types of computer viruses. I'm going to talk about fakes and false alarms in the world at this point right now. And then we'll wrap it up with the conclusion and questions at the end. Types of computer viruses. These are the basic types. We have boot sector, file infector, multiparti, and macro viruses. Now, I saved macros for the end because it actually happens to be the one virus I know the least amount. But it also happens to be what's mostly getting a lot of press in the world right now. So I can tell you kind of what I know about them. I don't play with them that often. Boot sector viruses. We're going to go over how they work and the different types. Can you actually see that? Yeah, there you go. All right, boot sector viruses. Attack the master boot record of the hard drive or the floppy disk. Now, to give you an idea of how easy it is to actually infect a floppy disk or a hard drive is if I have an infected floppy disk, I can put it in the A drive. From my command prompt, if I just do a directory of that C drive, I've instantaneously infected that hard drive just by accessing the disk. The master boot record is divided up into three different parts. We have the code, the FAT partition info, FAT allocation and the partition information, and the marker 55AA, as I put right there. Now, the code portion of the master boot record is what you see when you see, like, syntax error, stuff like that, or, like, invalid drive or stuff like that. That stuff's all encoded in there. These are all the little error codes. This is what tells the computer how to boot up. How to access the partition information. I want you to remember that portion. How to access the partition information. Because we're going to get into that in a few seconds here. What the virus does is the virus will first copies the boot code on the drive to a different sector of the media. Several viruses will copy to like sector 7, 9, 12, 17, 22. What I normally do is if I'm looking for a boot sector virus, I'll actually look at each sector up to about sector 25. And I actually look for an absolute duplicate of the boot code. If I see it on other sectors, that usually gives me an indication that I have a boot sector virus or have been infected at one time. A really great tool to use for this is Norton Utilities Disk Editor. It was my absolute favorite tool to do. I would actually go in and actually view the boot sector. After it copies the code over to a different sector, it then copies the virus code over the code portion of the master boot record. At the end of the virus code, it actually points to different sectors. Now, here's the really interesting factor dealing with boot sector viruses. It is completely 100% possible to have multiple infections at the same time, because different viruses will actually copy to different portions of the sector, different sectors. I've actually been able to infect a system with three different boot sector viruses at the same time. And then I run a virus remover software, and it'll get rid of one virus, and then I think I'm cool, and then I run it again, and there's a second virus, and then I run it again, and there's the third virus. It has to go down layers. It's very, very important that if you end up with a boot sector virus, to rerun the software again and verify that it has been removed correctly. On certain viruses, for instance, the New York boot virus. Anyone heard of that? Raise your hand. New York boot? Anyone been hit by it in the last year or so? No? Okay. One of the cool things with the New York boot. New York boot specifically just copies over the code, does it over to like sector 7 and 9, I think, and I think 12 also. And one of the easiest ways to get rid of a basic boot sector virus is by booting up off a clean disk and with fdisk on it, and type in fdisk/mbr. Anyone ever done that? Okay. And who can tell me what that does? Anybody, raise your hand. Sir? Well, yeah, I don't like to use the word format. All it does is says, I don't care what code is there, throw this code over it. No more virus. There's a problem with that. And we'll get into that problem right now. The FAT partition info of the MBR holds the data and partition information of the disk. Basically, it's an interpreter about like your directory string, you know, or your directory tree on where everything is. Some viruses encrypt this information, making it impossible to retrieve your data if you remove the virus incorrectly, like typing fdisk/mbr. The monkey is such a virus. Remember what I said? Monkey was my favorite virus. This is why. What Monkey does is it copies over the code, and then it encrypts all the FAT and directory information. So you have to boot up. The virus has to de-encrypt it and then run the actual code. If you type in fdisk/mbr, you've lost everything. It's gone. I'm sorry, what? You know what? I'm not sure. I really can't answer that. Yeah. So, as a matter of fact, I hate dropping names, but McAfee software actually has a specific remover only for virus, only for the monkey virus. Its normal remover does not remove the monkey virus. You actually have to download the monkey remover. Get that monkey off your back. Yeah. Now, what it does is it actually uses a de-encrypt key and then permanently de-encrypts the FAT partition information so it can remove the virus correctly. Another way to remove a basic computer virus without doing a fdisk/mbr, it takes a lot longer, but you know it's just as effective as by using like Norton Utilities Disk Editor and actually just copy the code that the virus moved over to another sector and just copy it back over again and then get rid of the virus also. Once again, fdisk/mbr, awesome way to do it. But be very, very careful about what virus you have when you do this. The type of different boot sector viruses, we have stealth, polymorphic, encrypting, and any combination of these. Stealth boot sector viruses, they hide in upper memory, and they tried to actually hide the virus code or hide the detection capabilities of the detection software. basically not letting you find it, which is why it's extremely important to boot off of a clean boot disk. I've seen tons of people actually install a virus software and sit there and say, I know I have a virus, but this software is not finding it. It must be a piece of crap. Well, no. What you're dealing with is a stealth virus that's hiding itself, and it's not letting the detector find it. So if you boot off of a clean diskette, it does not let the virus move into memory, allowing it to be removed correctly. Almost all the boot sector viruses I've ever dealt with have at least a stealth capability. Because, once again, what's the most important thing for a virus? It's to be able to replicate itself and move from one system to another without being detected. Polymorphic boot sector viruses, another one of my favorites. All right, polymorphic viruses are actually really tricky. They change the code each time they replicate themselves. So they're never quite the same virus twice. Now, who can tell me what kind of a pain in the butt that can be? Anybody have an idea why that could be real difficult? Yeah. How about the fact that it's hard or impossible to write a specific remover for it? Because remember, a remover is used, the way a remover for a specific virus is developed, is they actually decompile, reverse engineer the virus when they get it into the company. And they look for specific keys in the virus, and that's how they actually set up the data file to remove it. Well, if it's never the same virus twice, you can't write a specific remover. So what the antivirus companies came up with is what they call a simulator. And this is actually brilliant. They run the specific simulator, and the simulator says, hey, look, I'm accessing a disk. And what the boot sector virus will do is say, great, I'm going to replicate myself. And it watches the virus. And the moment it sees the code key, it stops the process, uses the code key to de-encrypt the virus and remove it. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm impressed. That's pretty cool. Without letting it replicate itself. That's a really nifty way. And I think I could be wrong in this, and if someone knows different, you can correct me, but I believe McAfee was the one who developed that the first time. They were the first ones to come up with the simulator. Because I can't hear you. I'm sorry. Oh, they reverse engineer viruses. You weren't here when I was discussing the fact that when I worked at an antivirus company, we would get on an average of 300 brand new viruses every single month. And what we would do is we'd take the viruses and reverse engineer them and break down the code and see how this specific version of the virus was working. Yeah. Just, assembly languages and, disassemblers. We had a whole team of programmers who would sit there and do nothing but, just rip apart viruses, just like people would rip apart different software to see how the software works. The only difference is you don't get in trouble for ripping apart a virus like you do software. Kind of interesting if you think about it. Encrypting boot sector viruses. Encrypting viruses will encrypt data or themselves, making it more difficult to remove. They also make it impossible to recover data without the virus being there to de-encrypt it, which goes back to Monkey, which I told you about the partition information prior. When you start compiling these together, when you start dealing with stealth, polymorphic, and encrypting, you start dealing with some very, very nasty viruses. Because it makes it conceitingly and just immensely more difficult to remove. You will find that you may come across a virus where no matter what remover you have, won't remove the virus. When I worked for this company, we would actually get people calling up and saying, hey, look, I've tried you guys, I've tried these guys, I've tried these guys, and I can't get rid of this. And I'm getting this funky message that says that Wendy's a bitch, and I don't know who Wendy is. And my wife was kind of wondering who Wendy is also. And what we do is we'd say, okay, here, send us a couple files and send us, go into a diskette and format a diskette or access a diskette, send that into us. And we would try to detect the virus and find out what's going on. A little side note here, something I thought that was actually interesting is when we walked in, if you walked into the company to the virus research area where they were actually doing the testing and checking of the viruses, there was actually a warning sign there saying, warning, images on the screen may not be, I forgot how they basically put it, but basically not PC. You may see things on the computer screens that may be offensive to yourself, and you've been duly warned. Because some viruses would actually show like naked pictures of people's girlfriends or very foul statements on there. You know, so you'll sit there, we'll be working, and all of a sudden, like, you know, my ex-wife's a bitch, and there's like a naked picture of her, you know. So they put that sign up there because a couple of women were walking by going, oh, he's got naked pictures on this thing. He's doing porno things. He goes, like, actually, no, it's a virus, but I'm depiling. I'm doing my job. It's cool. Leave me alone, you know. Yeah, but you've been working on that virus for 6 months. Oh, I like the virus. I don't know why. You know.
Are there any similarities between these viruses as size, infection vector?
Yeah. I get into that when we get into file infectors. Hey, look, file infectors. How am I doing on time? I'm almost half over and it's been 15 minutes. All right. All right, file infector viruses. Now, here's an interesting factor. When you're dealing with file infectors, the majority of file infector viruses will actually vision the red portion there as just the basic file itself. And what the file infector virus will do is it'll sit there, ooh, hey, feedback, cool. It'll sit here and put a marker at the beginning of the file. Ooh, you got a laser pointer. Mark's my friend. This portion right here would actually be a pointer for the virus. Let's get away from the speaker. And what it'll do is this portion of the code will tell it to go to the very end of the file and actually load the virus into memory here. And the end of the virus code here actually tells it to go over here and launch the file. Now, the problem with file infector viruses is, who can tell me what's really obviously a problem with file infectors? Anybody? Size. Exactly. Size. So sometimes it's very important to actually get a disk image of your system. And then what you can do is do like a binary compare of your image against your system and actually see if there's any differences in files, specifically COM files and executables. Who can tell me right off the bat, what's this maximum size for a COM file? 64K. So what happens if you see a COM file that's 1024? You have a problem, especially when it's command.com. Which is one of the most popular things for a virus to actually infect. Yeah, see, why not? It's what boots, you know? I mean, it's like, let's see, well, that's a good one to do. So by checking the size of the file, sometimes you can detect whether or not you have a virus. Now, here's the problem. A lot of the virus remover software doesn't cut off this code. What it does is it'll kill the virus itself, deactivate it, so it just basically says, just run the file and stop, but it doesn't actually change the size of the file. Now, who can tell me what happens if you have a COM file that's too big? What effect does that have on your system?
Code gets put into another segment.
Yes. Which means is, yeah, you might have actually removed the virus, may have deactivated the virus. But you're hosed. You're in a lot of trouble. So, who likes backups? Anybody? Now, honestly, right now, I'd like to have a show of hands. Who actually backs up their system? Raise your hand. Okay, now, raise your hand if you weren't lying. Okay. Backing up your system is immensely important, not just because of viruses, but for other reasons. Viruses will do some serious damage to your system. Without a proper backup, you're in a lot of trouble. Especially if you finally just got Microsoft Windows 95 working, I mean, without crashing and giving GPFs every 30 minutes, and it's actually working. Hey, I've got it happen once, okay? And I'm just like, okay, don't touch the machine, don't add anything, it's working. And then you get a virus, and it's like, oh, man. Starting over from scratch. You're going to want this back, aren't you?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. The laser pointer was a wedding gift. Yeah, good wedding gift. Whoops. Oh, man. Let me stare. Stare into the light, Carol Ann. Stare into the light. Here. I've never broken a laser pointer before, man. That's something new for me. And I break everything. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's working. Cool. Mark here actually works with me at INS, and he's the one that actually found me here at DEF CON last year and got me hired. So I like him. He got me a real job. He had to get me off the street, you know. I was peddling wares for a buck, you know. Dude, buy my wares. I need a cheeseburger. Who will write scripts for food, you know? All right. This basically goes over what I was already telling you about the beginning of the code and points to the end of the file and the beginning of the real virus putting the code into the memory. Now, there is one slight problem also with file infectors that I didn't quite mention. Is sometimes the virus will actually encrypt the file. Whoops. Which basically means is you could maybe like kill off the virus, but then you lose the file. And remember that thing about backups I was talking about before? Good thing. It's really basic encryption. Mostly exclusive OR. Some people get really very fancy. Right now you should be getting a kind of a concept that some of these viruses are pretty sophisticated, you know, and some of these people who write these put a lot of time into them. Which means is like, you know, you could probably be using this time for other things like cooking for your spouse, something a little bit more productive. But all in all, I'm still very fascinated by these. Okay, yeah, we talked about that. Which vendor would that be? No, I don't think so, and I'll tell you why after I take a sip of water. I was in the entertainment software industry for 7 years, and I also worked in the real world software industry for several years other than the entertainment software industry. And the basic attitude is get it on the market, get it out there as quick as possible, make the money, and move on to something else. And I'll be damned if I'm going to worry about a virus or something. Who can tell me right now what viruses are? Most viruses are written for what operating system? DOS, yes. DOS has more viruses still. But keep in mind that the majority of the viruses that were written for DOS only work up into DOS 3.3, so you really don't have to deal with them. Back in the 3.3 days, my absolute favorite virus back then was the music boot virus, which was a boot sector virus that was actually very, very cool because you'd be working away, typing away, and all of a sudden your whole system would freeze and it goes do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. And then it would unfreeze and go back to normal, and you're going, what the hell was that? You know, your little PC speaker is like, you know, going off, and then you'd sit there and going, okay, and you just work a little bit, and you look around, and everything would freeze, and then it would unfreeze, and you're going, okay, I'm pretty sure something's wrong. And then you would work a little while, and then everything would freeze, and you wouldn't hear any sounds, and everything would be dead. And you're going, now I'm really sure something's wrong. Most people, we get calls, I'm going, you know, I used to do like tech stuff and like have a lot of clients, and every time they got infected with this virus, it's like, something's wrong with my hard drive, and something's wrong with my motherboard, I need a new motherboard. And I'm going, you know, I can make a lot of damn money if I just didn't fix the virus, you know. But, damn it, I have ethics, I hate that. Music boot virus only affects up to DOS 3.3. Still a nifty little virus. All right, quick funny story. When I worked at the virus detection, you know, the company I worked for, and I'm going to slip out and tell you where I worked, but the place I worked, I actually came storming out of my office one time, cursing up a storm, really pissed off because I couldn't infect a machine with a virus. And I had to stop and think about how really ridiculous that sounded. I was like, damn thing won't infect my system. Wait a minute, what's wrong with this picture? I thought that was amusing. You know, people are going, you're mad because you can't infect a system with a virus. Well, yeah. Multipartite viruses. I want to talk about this for a little while. Who can tell me what a multipartite virus is? I'm sorry, what? Multiple infectors. What would it infect?
It's a trick question.
More than one. Yes. It infects both boot sectors and files. Yes. Ooh. Think about that. Now think about a virus that infects both boot sectors, files, polymorphic, stealth, and encrypting. Who wants to sit there and play with that? Shh. No, I actually I don't think I ever ran into a single one of those when I worked at McAfee. I mean, damn it. Yeah, multipartites are very fascinating because they replicate faster than almost any other virus there are, because they infect the files and they infect the boot sector themselves. Who can tell me a multipartite virus in the wild right now that's actually very active? All right, what else? I mentioned it earlier. Anyone seen the anti-EXE? That's a multipartite virus. It infects both files. Actually, it affects the files directly, and it also hits the boot sector. Now, the thing with these is they replicate so fast because you can infect a file, it infects your hard drive, it infects every single file that you have on your hard drive. Some of them target specifically .doc files, some of them target specifically executables and .com files. Some target everything. You know, everything that they can, you know, that has any type of a code string into it. Which means that you can spread them through email, you can spread them through the internet, through IRC. Who here actually downloads files through IRC from people that they don't know? Aside from this guy right here. Who's hiding his face? Man, I'm telling you right now, do not ever, ever take a file from anybody that you don't know directly. And then if you do know them, don't take that file and unless you really analyze it. At home, I have a specific machine that is off my network that I transfer files to specifically. I unplug the network, and then I check out the file before I ever let it go anywhere else in my network. How many times have I actually found a virus that way? Twice. One of them completely wiped out my system. And if it happened to be that Windows 95 box that I just got working real well, it would have been in a bad shape. Yeah, multipartite viruses are very, very nasty. Because the virus detecting software actually has to track down where it's infected in the file and remove it from the boot sector. Macroviruses. By a show of hands, who here has actually been infected by a macrovirus? Quite a few. All right. Who here has been infected by a macrovirus that on Excel only? All right. Word. PowerPoint. Ooh. Nobody in PowerPoint. What if I told you that they're now coming out with multipartite macroviruses? They infect Word, Excel, and PowerPoint off of one virus. Would that scare you? Yes? No?
Yes.
Scares the shit out of me. He doesn't use them. Good boy. Unfortunately, in the real world, a lot of us have to use those programs at work. And these viruses are becoming more and more destructive. It used to be that they were relatively harmless. Who can name a couple macroviruses? Colors. Colors is a very interesting one. Colors is relatively harmless. If I remember right, colors actually just changes your desktop, you know, scheme of, you know, color scheme, and it's like, wait, I don't remember having puce. Oh, yeah, that's my favorite one. Yeah. You boot up a system and you look over and going, everything's white. There is no difference. Everything is white on white on white. And you're going, I can't even find the stupid box to change it. Yeah, macroviruses, very, very interesting little things. The first one that was written as an experiment just to verify they could actually do it. They use a visual, basic language that's included with Excel and Word, because macros were designed to help speed up the process. Well,